First Timothy, the first chapter, verses 12 through 17. First Timothy, chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. When we think of Paul, it's almost always Paul the Apostle. It's Paul, the one who was the great foundation of the Christian faith. Paul, the one who gives us our understanding of how we as Christians are to live. And here Paul is writing to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. Timothy was somebody who had grown up in a Christian family, and he was becoming a pastor. Now, I kind of understand what that's like. It's not always easy. I still remember my first Sunday in my first church. I was an old man of 28. And my wife, Sharon, was in the hospital. I do remember that because our son, Scott, was 5. And so I'm in this new church. I don't know anybody. And I started to lead the service. And my son sat in the front pew by himself. And they had loose pew cushions. Anybody want to guess what happened? He started lifting the end of the pew cushion and dropping it. It made a nice noise, and he enjoyed it. And I thought, oh my, what did I get myself into? One of the ladies in the church came up from the back of the church, picked him up, took him back to sit with her, and she had a bowl of Cheerios. She was prepared. Because the next youngest person in the church besides me and my son was 53, and I don't think he ate Cheerios in church. So she kind of had an idea what might be going on. And for the rest of the 3 years we were in that church, he sat with people throughout the church. And so for me, that was a part of God's grace, of God's working, of the people in the church becoming family and sharing. It was a wonderful thing, but it's not easy to be called into ministry. And Paul is talking to Timothy and saying, you know, don't worry about it. Just follow God's grace and allow God's grace to be at work in you. Have a neat experience this year. We have two new young pastors in the area. One is in my home church, Oval, and I don't think he shaves yet. He may. He's 22 or 23, and then we have another pastor, a new pastor, in Saladesburg, and she doesn't shave either, so... But I've talked with both of them and said, you know, don't let anything upset you. If you have a problem, you know, all of the paperwork we have to do, all of the things, don't worry about it. Just call me. I'll help you with it. But we have people who are being led by God into ministry all the time. Why is that? Why are people going into ministry? Is it for the big paycheck? Is it because they want to be noticed? Well, let me tell you, if you want to be noticed, Jersey Shore area is probably not the best place to get assigned to, which is why I love it here. I don't want to be noticed. But there are a lot of people, a lot of churches that are struggling with finding pastors because young pastors now want to go someplace big with a good paycheck. They want something that's bigger than the little churches. They want to go to a big church. I've never wanted to go to a big church in my 30 years in ministry. Never wanted that. Always wanted to be in the little church. Because the people in the little church understand that I may be the pastor, but ministry is done by you. That's what you understand, and it's a wonderful thing. From the church has left the building to the backpack program, to the warm and fuzzy program, to all of the different things that we do in this church to reach out to our community, it's a reminder that we are all called to ministry, and it's not always easy. And it's not because we are great people. Paul talks about his background. God called Paul into ministry, even though before he became a follower of Jesus Christ, he was going around arresting Christians, even standing there holding everybody's coat while Stephen was killed, and condoning it, and saying, yeah, this is what we should be doing. So no matter where you've been in your life, no matter what you've done, it doesn't exempt you from the ability for God to use you. Sometimes we have this idea that I don't have the ability to be God's servant or God's minister. I was first called to ministry, I truly believe, when I was 9 years old. But I never felt like that was something I was capable of doing. First of all, and I jokingly say, I really don't like people that much. And what I mean by that is I'm an introvert, and I need to be by myself. That's why I have a great big wood shop, and I can go hide in it. But I'm not comfortable being in front of people. I don't like public speaking. I love to preach. I could preach for hours on end, and it wouldn't bother me. But to have to get up at annual conference and give one report, and it takes weeks for the bruises on my knees to go away from where they were knocking together. But God calls us not because we are the best person for the job, because He can help us to do the things that we need to do. He can give us the abilities. I think back before I became a pastor, and I don't remember having the ability to speak or to talk as loud as I do. After I became a pastor, I could call my son when he was a quarter mile away. I still call the dog when he goes over to the farm, and that's a quarter mile. But God gives us the gifts that we need to do the job that He's called us to do. God doesn't call those who have all of the greatest gifts. God calls those who are willing to be used by Him. So what I want to say to you today is, don't think that God can't use you because you don't have all of the gifts or abilities you think you need to have. You have the ability to speak to people. You may not want to do it publicly, and that's fine. We need Sunday school teachers. You can talk to kids. Most of you have grandkids. You know how to talk to kids. And it's just like grandkids. When you're done, you can send them home. We need people to be active in the church, because most of you know that I believe that the church needs to be active. And I live that out in my life. When we're doing something, I'm here as long as I can be, because that's how you lead. That's how I was taught to lead in the Boy Scouts and the military. You show people where we're going. You can be a leader in the church. You can be a helper in the church. And one warning on this, all of those of you who filled out your spiritual gifts inventory, we have them. I know what your gifts are, and most of you are servants. And that's the way it should be, a desire to serve God wherever He leads you. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. Timothy, God has called you to do something. Do it. Just as God called me, Paul says, just as God called me the worst of sinners, and He gave me His grace. And God's grace, the best way for me to explain it, is unwarranted mercy. You don't deserve it, but God desires to give it. His grace to take away our sins and make us His people. But that's not the end of it for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. It's not getting your ticket stamped and then sitting in a seat waiting to get to heaven. Being a Christian is an active thing. If you look in Greek at all of the words that we use when we talk about what it means to be a Christian, faith, believe, love, they're all verbs in Greek. And all of you know that a verb is an action word. It means you have to do something. That's what the word means. And our whole faith is based on doing God's word, on living God's word, on being God's people. That's what you're called to be. That's what you're called to do. And just as Paul said to Timothy all those years ago, that God was at work in him, I know that God is at work in us, and God is doing great and wonderful things. I look at all the ministries that this church has and all of the things that it does, and especially this week, as I was able to hand that check to that young Amish father, knowing that the huge financial burden that was hanging over his head, and he nearly started to cry. And it was amazing to be able to give that kind of love and care to somebody you've never met. Emmanuel's almost 8 pounds now. And the prognosis is he will grow to be a normal little boy, a normal person. And you have a part in that. You've touched lives. And that's what we're called to do as the church of God, to touch lives here in our community and throughout our world, so that people would understand that God is a God of love and grace and peace, and that God cares about them. And God cares about you. I don't know where you've been in your life. I don't know what you've done. God does, and you know what? He doesn't care. It's just not important. If you're willing to ask for forgiveness no matter what you've done, God will forgive you. And He will make you one of His own. That's the grace of God. That's the wonderful promise that God has to offer us. We can be God's people, not because we've come from the right place, or we come to the right place, or because we're the right people, but because God loves us. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, continue to allow Him to lead you into the paths that He has set before you. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, now's the time. Because God is reaching out to you. He desires to be your God, and He desires for you to be His child. And His grace will cover all that you've ever done. And when God covers it, it's gone. As Corrie Ten Boom says, when we ask for forgiveness, God throws our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. In other words, He doesn't remember them anymore. And then, just because He knows us, He puts up a no fishing sign. You can't go after them. They don't exist. That's how much God loves you.